South Haven. It's Pastor Victor. I'm here in the prayer room. What a great reminder is the body of Christ that we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people who's in the Word and be discipled and strong and ready to share our faith. You know, life is going to be difficult enough, and I think there's going to be some hurdles and some wrenches thrown at us. Life is going to test us. Your life will get tested. Your marriage is going to get tested. Your faith will get tested. That's why I want to invite you to our summer classes. Our summer discipleship classes are going to be very exciting, and so I hope that you'll join us, sign up for these summer classes. They'll be taught on a Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., and so I would just encourage you to go out to the mission station and sign up. Some of these classes we're going to teach, for example, the first one I'll just mention would be, I want to understand the Bible. So many people are coming to me saying, Victor, I don't have a grasp of the Bible. Can you just help me through the simple understanding of how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to memorize Scripture, things like that. So I hope you'll be a part of that class. That'll start on June 28th. Also, there's another class coming up called So What's the Difference? You know, there's a lot of faiths and denominations, and there's cult groups and religious groups out there in the world. What is the difference between all? Can't we just coexist? Well, we're going to study that and find out what the distinctives are between each one of those faiths and religions and cults. And so I hope you'll come and be a part of that class. That'll be a three-week class. That'll be July 12th, July 19th, and July 26th. Also, Melissa Buford is teaching a women's class, and it's a class on prayer. It's called When You Pray. She would love for you to sign up for her class, and so I hope that you'll do that. I hope you'll take some time today and go out to the mission station and sign up there at the kiosk, and you can get signed up and ready, plugged in there. Last class we'll be teaching this summer is for you guys. It's called What Every Woman Wishes Her Man Knew. That'll be on August the 2nd. And so, guys, this is a class. Ladies, nudge him right now because it'll be a very helpful class. It'll be a class that will help him understand you better, and it'll help your marriage. So I hope you'll be part of this summer classes of Equip classes, and come and join us. We're going to have a great time. See you there.
Through God's word, and that's what this verse.
tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? And Jesus' desire and his longing, his hope, is that you will be ready to meet him when he comes back. And so this morning, I really want a profound truth to kind of permeate your mind as I preach this sermon. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So let that permeate your mind as I preach today. And I want to focus on two primary questions. Number one, are you in Christ? As you do an inventory of your life today, are you in Christ? And number two, are you prepared? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Your soul is very important to the Lord. Your soul is valuable to the Lord. And he desires to graft you into his family, into his eternal family. John 14:3 is a direct quote from Jesus himself, and he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He spoke these words at his departure. It's also his promised return to those who believe in him, so that where Jesus is, there we might be also. So let me kind of drive this point home to you today. By the authority of God's word, by the authority of the scriptures, we know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And so I ask, are you in Jesus Christ? Are you ready for his coming? Because it is a fact, he is coming again. Now there's some things that are some knowns about his return, and there's some things that are unknown about his return. And what we do not know is the when of Jesus coming. We don't know when he's coming back. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36 that of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. He goes on in verse 44 to say, "For this reason you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour that you do not expect." So today, I just ask you, are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming day of the Lord? Is your heart of heart, your soul of soul, is it firm? Is it in total understanding that you have that nailed down, that if he were to come back, you'd be ready to go home? If he came this very minute, can you honestly say, "I am prepared to meet the Lord"? So let me take you to our scripture text today. I think it's a very fitting text for what we're going to be talking about, the coming of the day of the Lord. And it's about the parable of the 10 virgins. So if you have your Bible, would you please turn to Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. I want to hear your Bibles rustling. Open your Bibles to Matthew 25 and verses 1 through 13. If you have your smartphone, open it up. Pull out that Bible app. Let's hear it, and let's read it together. Would you stand in honor of reading God's word today? This is God's holy word. Let's stand in honor of reading his word. Coming out of Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the prudent ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps. Now while the groom was delaying, they all became drowsy, began to sleep. But at midnight there was finally a shout, 'Behold the groom, come out to meet him!' And then all the virgins got up, trimmed their lamps. But the foolish virgin said to the prudent ones, 'Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' However, the prudent ones answered, 'No, there most certainly would not be enough of us to go for enough oil for you and us too. So go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the groom came, and those who were ready went in to be with him in the feast, in the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And yet later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, and watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word, for the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that today that We leave these doors transformed and changed by the power of just incorporating this word into our lives, Father, understanding that we have a responsibility with this word. And that, Father, if there are those here who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ, that, Father, they would equip themselves with the gospel. Would they trim their lamps? Well, Father, would you speak into their lives the truth today, that they might know that they have life and life everlasting. Would you be glorified? Would your Holy Spirit fall upon this place and prick our hearts, Lord, that many would hear and understand the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Today, people prepare and equip themselves for all sorts of life's adventures. I mean, we prepare ourselves and equip ourselves for education. We prepare ourselves for business. We equip ourselves and prepare ourselves for business and careers and holidays. Boy, we equip ourselves for weddings. I've got four daughters, and I've got two married and two more to go. Praise Jesus. All right, so I know a little bit about how we equip ourselves for weddings. And hey, we even equip ourselves to have a baby. Now, Christian and Paige are here today, and they got little baby Owen over here, and he's just the sweetest thing in the world. And boy, they equipped themselves, they prepared the room, and they built the bed, and they got all the room painted the right colors. And I saw it from beginning to end, and I've got my oldest daughter, Leanne, and she right now, in about a month from now, is going to have her little baby, and she's equipping and going to birthing classes and all the things that she's doing to prepare. I know really well how we equip ourselves, we prepare ourselves for various things in life. And as I'm getting older, I'm having to equip and prepare myself for getting older. And we even take out, you know, insurance for this or that, and we have life insurance. But the one thing that I find sometimes that people are not preparing for and equipping themselves for is they're not preparing for their eternity. I look upon our world today, and I'm concerned how people are very ill-equipped, very non-prepared for eternity. And it's the most important preparation that you can pay attention to, but it's overlooked. I don't know if it's being pushed aside, it's ignored, it's suppressed, or even just neglected. But many do not prepare for their eternity, nor do they even consider their eternity. They don't even consider their salvation or their destination. And if Jesus came at this very moment, I'm concerned that many would not be ready for the day of the Lord. I mean, think about it. We prepare and equip for all kinds of bumps and bruises along life's way. We take out, like I said, insurance. We have car insurance, house insurance. I recently even saw an advertisement for pet insurance. That's my generation. I can't understand to wrap my head around pet insurance, but that's a big one. I saw the other day that Heidi Klum from America's Got Talent, she insured each of her legs for $1 million. $2 million legs. That's amazing to me. And even in stranger news, if you want to go stranger, I saw in Florida, it always happens in Florida, it's a story that came out of Florida, that people, there's an insurance agency down there in St. Lawrence agency in Florida, and it's a local company, and they have UFO abduction insurance. You heard it right. They decided to capitalize on people's fear about alien abduction, and as of this year, they've sold 30,000-plus policies. Mike, another great idea for you right there. Alien abduction insurance. Insurance here, insurance there. We got insurance for everything. But my question is have you equipped yourself with the blessed assurance that only comes from Jesus Christ? The blessed assurance of not delaying, the knowing that you have your salvation is nailed down by what the Scripture reveals is necessary for our salvation. Do not delay with your insurance and your assurance of Jesus Christ. And do you have the peace of God, knowing that all your sins, past, present, and future, are all covered underneath the blood of Jesus Christ? One of the things that we are commonly known for in this community is our benevolence. And last Tuesday, we had a young man come to the door, and he was needing some help. And I was able to assist him with some groceries and some food. And as I got to the car and I asked him a few questions, I said, I'll just call him Jay. I said, Jay, do you know
know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you a Christ follower? And he goes, oh, yes, yes, yes. And I said, well, how did that happen for you? And he said, what do you mean, how did that happen for me? I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, well, let me explain it this way, Jay. If I had a knife sticking in my back and I was bleeding out and I have 3 minutes to live, what would you tell me? How would I get to heaven? Tell me how to get to Jesus. And he hum-hauled around and he said, I have no idea what to tell you. I said, Jay, has anyone taken the time to walk you through the scriptures to tell you how you can have the assurance that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? He said, no, no one's ever done that. I brought him into the lobby here. We sat down. I shared a simple gospel demonstration of how to be saved. I took him through the scriptures. And at that very moment, at the end, I said, Jay, would you like to have the assurance that you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? He said, that's what I want. I said, this is your decision, not my decision. Do you really want this? He said, that's what I want. I want the assurance to know that I'm going to heaven. I led him in a simple prayer. The prayer doesn't save you, folks, but he believed from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. You can miss heaven by 18 inches. You can have a head knowledge about Jesus. The Bible says even the demons believe and they tremble that they're not going to heaven. You can have a head knowledge about Jesus, but until it sinks into your heart and that you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's when you will be saved. Today, at the close of this sermon, I want each one of you, like Jay did, to walk out of this sermon, out of this service, with the acknowledgement and understanding. And you can walk out of here with the peace of God, knowing that your sins have been left behind at the cross and thrown away. Jesus says he'll remember your sins no more. The verse says he places our sin in the hollow of his back where we can see it no more. He throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. He'll remember it no more. And there will be no doubt in your mind that you're in right standing with the Lord. You can walk out of here today with that assurance from the scriptures. And it's not if Jesus splits the sky. It's when Jesus splits the sky. Amen? Because he is coming again. And like the five wise virgins, will you be found ready? Will you be found eagerly waiting and looking for Jesus Christ at the coming when he blows the trumpet? This parable is about having your lamp trimmed. It's about having oil in your flag. It's about being equipped. Are you ready to meet the Lord when he decides to come back? Oh, brothers and sisters, do not be found unprepared and do not be found ill-equipped. Jesus' return is going to happen, and the Bible says it will be a surprise. It will be a surprise because Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says that when Jesus will come, at a time when you least expect him, he says this. He said, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now listen, class. We may not know when he's coming again, but it's not an excuse for us to be unprepared or not. Jesus is coming back, and each one of us who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are called to be prepared and to eagerly await his coming. A wise servant does not delay his duties. We have duties as believers while we wait for Jesus' coming. He tells us to be on guard, to be on watch. We should be sharing our faith. We should be witnessing. We should be living an upright and holy life. Are you ready? Don't be caught off guard because at any moment he could come back. And we learn from this story of the 10 virgins that all 10 had no specific knowledge of the exact timing of his return. But isn't it interesting in this story that he did tell them that he would someday or sometime come back. Now, five were wise, prepared to meet him. The other five were not wise. But all 10 knew that the bridegroom was going to return. Some people may think that, oh, there may just be people who are generous and they'll give me some oil in my flask or my oil in my lamp or they need this. But you know what? You have got to give an account for your life. You can't depend on other people. Those five unwise virgins were depending on the five wise. Jesus is saying here is pack your own lunch. Be ready individually. You can't depend on somebody else's spirituality to help get you into heaven someday. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be equipping yourself right now to be in Jesus' clueless about Jesus' return. They live totally ignorant of the fact that Jesus is going to come someday. And that's why your responsibility and my responsibility is to be proclaiming the good news to those who are unprepared and telling them about the coming of the Lord. Now, how many of you guys and girls fly on an airplane? How many have flown before on a big airline? All right. I'm going to have a little couch set up here for a little therapy session because I am the world's most impatient guy. And my wife is in the house today. She will tell you that I'm a very impatient guy. All right. So I stand on that as my baseline. But if you've ever flown an airplane, there's one part of flying that really frustrates me. Okay. And it's called deboarding the plane. Okay. When you land on an airplane, okay, you taxi up to the gate, and then they have this time period where before they put the jet bridge out, and they hook that up to the door, and they do some cross checks and some talking back and forth, and there's probably about a 10-minute delay, maybe 15-minute delay sometimes before they'll open up the door. Now, me being the impatient guy that I am, I'm usually the guy that's behind the wing towards the back of the plane. Okay, I don't have all the fancy money to get the nice seats up front. So I'm always at the back of the plane. And as I'm looking, you know, 20 or 30 rows up, and they open up the door of the plane, I notice that people are on their cell phones. People are not paying attention. You've had lots of time. You've had all kinds of time to prepare and to be ready to deboard that plane. But are they doing it? No, they're not doing it. They're sitting there talking, having great conversations. I'm so frustrated. I'm like, be ready, people. Be ready. And then they get up maybe casually and get to their row. And they're like, oh, now they got to get the bin down. They got to find the luggage nuts and over there. It's on this side. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Can we have a deboarding 101 class on how to deboard a plane? I could have been off of this plane 10 minutes earlier. Okay, so my therapy session's over right now. But I'm just saying, people do not know how to exit a plane. And I looked over to my wife, and I said this to Amy. I said, honey, this is my next sermon illustration. Because people don't know how to exit a plane, and it's a picture of where they are spiritually, too, because there are people who don't know how to exit into eternity, and they're not prepared, and they're not ready for their salvation, for their eternal destination with the Lord. And that's my sin. And so I'm just saying, can somebody help me? Is your heart prepared to meet Jesus today? Are you ready? Because one day, the doors will be closed. And so I'm saying, be prepared to exit. There is a coming day of the Lord. Are you a good time of steward of your witnesses, of your timing, of your resources? Are you living with no concern? Are you just living like I could care less about the return of the Lord? How are you living? Prepared like the wise virgins or unprepared like the unwise virgins? Hebrews 9:28 has a warning for us today. It says, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting, looking for him. Jesus is coming again. This verse tells us that Jesus is coming to gather to himself those who have entrusted themselves to him and are eagerly waiting on him. And I'll just say again, Romans 8:1, there is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so the parable of the 10 virgins reminds us of another story that I find in the Bible, and that's the story of Noah. If you remember Noah, he warned of a coming judgment, the flood. And can you imagine, Noah was building this ark for over 100 years, it says in scriptures, and he was daily mocked for building this ark. He was daily mocked. It says Noah was a man of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he was mocked for his preaching. And day after day, it says in the scriptures that they were eating, drinking, and being merry. For there was no signs of the coming of the Lord except the building of an ark. All they could see was a man building a large boat. And that was their testimony. They thought that was a mockery too. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:2, that God appointed a time. At his appointed time, when it came, it said the ark was finished. And Noah, the preacher of righteousness to his family, called the people to repent, and yet the people refused to believe in him. Noah and his family boarded the ark with the animals, and guess what? The Bible says that God shut the door. Those who were outside of God's ark were destroyed. An entire creation drowned in doubt and unbelief. Many perished because they chose to stick their heads in the sand and not heed God's warning signs. As a result, those apart from Jesus were swept into eternity as a direct result of not heeding God's spoken word. Folks, today, God's doors of grace are open for you to come in to his ark, to his church, the church universal. Those who have called upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But tomorrow, it could be shut. And it's highly possible that perhaps today, or tomorrow, or 2 years from now, 20 years from now, we do not know when Jesus will part the eastern sky and come back. But we do know that one day, God will stand up from his throne and he will say, enough. It's time. Go get my church. And so as we ponder our text today, there were 5 foolish and 5 wise. Which grouping do you find yourself in today? How will Jesus find you? Will he find you unprepared or will he find you prepared? The good news today is that there is still time. God has not shut the doors to his salvation. God's doors are open. Salvation is all open to you. Forgiveness is available to you. And the bridegroom, King Jesus, has paid your debt. Jesus has promised, I am coming again and I will be back. Where do you stand today? Have you secured your eternity with Jesus? Do you know that those in this room that have called on the name of Jesus Christ for your salvation, do you know that he's made preparations for you if you've called upon his name? John tells us in John 14:3, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Blessed are those who are in the Lord. Now, I know some of you get all excited when us preachers preach about the second coming, but I want to give you a truth today, and that is this, that the majority of the world today has never heard about the first coming of Jesus. So before we get all excited about the second coming of Jesus, let's ponder that the most of the world has never heard of the first coming. And it is our responsibility, it is our job, it is our obligation to be teaching for. How will they know unless someone goes out and preaches that the Lord offers salvation? So today, if that's you and you've never heard about the first coming, and you're saying, who is Jesus? Let me just offer a few things about who is Jesus, because the world tries to capture who is Jesus. I mean, you can look at the movies today. There's lots of movies out there who try to capture who is Jesus. Songwriters try to capture who is Jesus. They sing a lot of songs about him. Broadway cast plays about Jesus. Historians, they write about Jesus. And philosophers ponder about Jesus. And there's even websites and forums and blogs about who is this Jesus. And Saul, if you don't know who Saul was, he was one of the persecutors of the church. He gave approval to the killing of Christians. I would assume he probably even murdered some of the Christians. He was on his way to go persecute more Christians on this Damascus road. And the Bible says that on this Damascus road, there was a bright light that shone out. It blinded him, knocked him down. And he had this question. He said, Lord, who are you? Who are you, Lord? He didn't even know who was. And then Jesus was saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Now maybe that's what you're saying today. You're here in this sanctuary and you're saying, I don't know who the Lord is. People today are saying the same thing. And let me tell you a little bit about who Jesus Christ is. He lived 33 years. He never traveled more than 100 miles from his hometown. He never had a formal education. And yet here we are in 2023. And Jesus impacts an entire generation. Jesus is the name that you can't get away from. Every time you try to run away from Jesus was a madman. Some say Jesus was a lunatic. Some say he was a liar. But the Bible says that he was a man. And he was a man in God's image. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus was God incarnate. He was fully God, and he was fully man. Philip had questions about this very thing, too. He's like, "Who are you, Lord?" In John 14, 8, 9, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." And Jesus replied, "Philip, I've been with you all this time, and still you do not know me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." We know that Jesus was fully man, yet fully God. Philippians 2:7 says, "But Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant being born in the likeness of man." Here's God who emptied himself. He left all his glory, and he emptied himself and became a man in the likeness of men. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him," that's Jesus, "the whole fullness of deity dwells." Colossians 1:17 says, "He's before all things, and in him he holds all things together." We know that Jesus never sinned. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him," in Jesus, "we might become the righteousness of God." And we know that Jesus was raised from the dead. Here we have the angel saying, "Don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying." And we know that Jesus Christ is coming again, because in Acts chapter 1, as this is the ascension picture of Jesus being lifted from his disciples. It says, "As they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So I conclude my sermon the same way I started my sermon. Romans 8:1, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus desires that no one would perish, but that all would come to eternal life. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you assured that you have life and life eternal? You can leave this place with full assurance, knowing that Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is coming again. And one day this world will be laid on the trash heaps of history. But the word of the Lord will endure forever. Amen? 2 Peter 3:11 says this, "Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, because today may be the very last day that you have for the gates to be open. We do not know. Are you equipped? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? This altar is now open for you to come to Jesus. You can nail it down right now. We have instrumentalists coming. They're going to sing a song. And as I pray, would you pray something like this if you're not sure of your salvation? It's a simple prayer. And the prayer is not what saves you. It's your condition of your heart before the Lord Jesus. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the inward workings of your mind and your heart. But if you want to pray and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you say something simple like this? Pray with me right now. "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need you as my Lord and Savior. Take away my sin. I confess you with my mouth that you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I give my life to you. I repent of my sin, and I give my life to you. Would you be Lord of my life? And the best as I know how, I'm going to live this day committed and fully in sacrificial living for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." If that's you today, would you come to this altar as we have people to receive you and answer any questions you might have about who is Jesus? Come to Jesus. Because today is the day of salvation.